senior pastor here, and what a joy to see everybody out here tonight. A couple of things just to bring you up to speed. We've been going through an Advent series called Discovering Christmas, and we've been looking at a different aspect of Advent throughout the last 4 weeks. And so tonight, we're going to end looking at the Christ. And so for the first week, we looked at the aspect of hope, and then we went into peace and joy, and then this morning we talked about love, and then tonight, obviously, we're going to be looking at Jesus. And if you haven't figured it out, it's very manger-centered here at church today. So a lot of conversation. We're going to look at this question here throughout the service tonight. What does the manger tell us about Jesus? And I think hopefully this will bless you guys, and again, just become just something of the manger will be something to look at so differently than maybe Christmas Eve past. And so, again, I hope that just God fills you with His love tonight, and that you get excited about what the manger tells us about Jesus. To do that, we're going to jump into a passage that probably is pretty familiar to you guys. We're going to look at Luke 2. I think Kim actually read a portion of it with the kids' message there. That was great. We got the action message out of the way. I'll probably be a little bit more slower than the way Kim delivered. But again, you know, there's a speed for everybody here in this church tonight. So we invite you just to stand as we read the Word of God. You can sit for my words. But I'd like to open a word of prayer tonight. Lord God, I thank you for this night, Lord. I thank you for this time that we can just sink into your presence, God. I thank you for this opportunity to maybe look at a familiar passage, Lord, here, and take a little deeper look at what a manger can tell us about your son, Jesus. And so, God, we pray, Lord, that you would just lead us into the truth of your word tonight. Holy Spirit, that you would illuminate these words for us. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So one of the things I've been saying before I jump in here is, you know, Advent is not a season where life is awesome. It's not about just having bigger smiles or pretending like life is okay. Really, Advent is about pressing into the presence of God. And it's there what we're finding over the last few weeks, where we find a true sense of hope, peace, joy, love. And it takes on a whole new meaning, and it goes past the circumstances of our lives. And so we're diving in now to a new aspect here, and that is, you know, what does Jesus mean to us? As we drive deeper into God's presence, again, what I hope is that you feel the assurance of God's presence in your life, that, again, no matter what's going on around you, that you know that there's a God that is with you. As the scripture says, Emmanuel, God is with us. And that becomes so much more meaningful to you than anything else this Christmas. So, let's read these words. In the days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went out to be registered to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she had gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude, the heavenly host praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." You may be seated. So tonight, we are looking at what can we learn from the manger about Jesus? What does a manger tell us about Jesus? And there's a couple things that the manger reveals about Jesus. And the first thing is this. The manger was meant to be a sign. The manger was meant to be a sign. The angel of the Lord said something to the shepherds that was almost too good to be true. If you remember, he says, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For the shepherds to believe this and bear witness, they would need a sign." Show us evidence, right? We hear this even today. If God is real, point to the evidence. And so these shepherds, well, we need a sign. Well, what is the sign? Well, they said to this, a Savior has been born, Christ the Lord. And then they went on, here's the sign. "And this will be a sign for you," they said. "You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." So the first thing we need to ask, was the swaddling clothes the sign? Well, if we think about this, if you were to show up in Bethlehem, it's probably not uncommon for most women to have their babies wrapped in swaddling clothing. So we need something to separate, right? We need something to distinguish this birth. And so the thing that we're finding out here, it wasn't the clothes, so we can cross that off the list. So then what is left? It's a manger. The sign was a manger. In fact, this must have sounded so crazy to shepherds that probably they didn't think they heard the angels correctly. Are you sure you're saying that the Savior of the world is going to be in a manger? That's crazy to them. Because let's be honest about here. What king arrives and is born in a feeding trough? Think about that. It would be strange enough to find a baby in a manger, but on the announcement, right, that this Savior, this King, this Christ, the Lord, would be born in a manger. This is crazy, right, to them. But this is the sign. It's the manger. This is what tips them off, that something is incredibly happening. And when the angels appear to the shepherds in the field to invite them to visit this newborn king, they told them to look for a baby in a manger. That is the sign. So, question here tonight. What does this manger say to all of us as it did to the shepherds that night? What is it saying? What is it speaking to? Because the manger wasn't just a sign for the shepherds. It was meant to be a sign to all of us that this Savior, this Christ and Lord Jesus would be accessible to everyone. The manger was a sign that Jesus was accessible to everyone. Now think about this for a second. The shepherds wouldn't have had access to a baby born in a royal palace. The angel showed up and said, "Here, you'll find the Savior, the Christ, the Lord, in a royal palace. Go see it." What would be their chances getting past the guards? Not happening. Think about this. If some random strangers showed up after the birth of one of my kids, I'd be highly suspicious. Who are you and why are you coming to me? And don't forget, the shepherds already had a status in that culture. They weren't the most sought out people. So once again, if someone showed up that was somewhat, didn't have the best reputation, things like that, again, I would be asking the question, why do you want to see my kids? But the manger is accessible to all. The manger is accessible to all. And the manger reminds us that if you want to know God, he wants to know you. He wants to know you. This is pretty amazing stuff. The second thing we learn here that God wants us to know about this son from the manger, it's this. The manger was also a symbol. And let me explain this a little bit. The newborn Jesus lay in a feeding trough in the little town of Bethlehem. In a feeding trough in a town named Bethlehem. And I'm going to tell you why that's important. Because Bethlehem actually means house of bread. Bethlehem means house of bread. And this is what Jesus says about himself. In John 6:34, then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." We have a feeding trough where the Savior of the world is born that is meant to feed, sustain life. We have a Savior who says, his words, not mine, "I am the bread of life." Jesus knows that life can be draining. And so the manger becomes a symbol that reminds us to come and eat and find fulfillment in him. To find fulfillment in him. As I was saying at the beginning here, Advent isn't really a season where we put it all together and all our life problems go away. That's not the point of Advent. The point of Advent is an intentional step of pursuing God's presence. It's a time that we can set aside the things that are going on and in a very intentional way, look at the Christ child again. To examine his life. To examine the scriptures. To see what hope is really about. What peace and joy and love is all about. Through Jesus. Again, life is still happening all around us. There's trials that are going on. But what we're learning from the manger is God wants to equip you to face those trials. He wants to sustain you. He wants to feed you. He knows the weight that sin can cause people. And so he says to us, "Come to me." This is what Jesus says, "Come to me." And here's what I want you to see tonight is God's heart for you. And so look at these words here. This is Jesus speaking. "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Again, Advent, not about having it all together, but taking an intentional step in pursuing God. He goes on to say, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus makes it clear. His goal in this life isn't to make things harder for us. That's not what he's about. His goal is to lighten the burdens that you feel. He wants to provide for you. He wants to sustain you through this life. Jesus said this. He says, "Look, a thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." This is the reality. We have an enemy that's against us. But here's what Jesus is doing in the midst of the trials we face. He says, "But I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Have life and abundantly. God's ultimate goal is not just that we get through life, but we thrive in life. It's not about just getting from the one moment to the next. He kicks it up a notch. And he says, "Not only do I want to sustain you, but I want you to thrive. I want you to have a life that is full of purpose." We talked about that a little bit today, this morning in our morning service. And so tonight we're learning that the manger was meant to be a sign and a symbol to all who seek it out. It is there that you will find a Savior, as the scripture says, the Christ, which means the anointed one. The anointed one for what? To go to that cross for our sins, dead and buried, and to conquer that grave. Because it wouldn't be just enough for him to die on a cross for us. If that happens, the Apostle Paul says, then we're all still dead in sin. So the resurrection is hugely important. That's what it took to finish the job for us. And he did that because he loves us. You know, tonight is kind of a special night for me. About 28 years ago, where I fully surrendered to God, where I looked at that manger, where I looked at that Christ child, and I said, "There's something there." You have to know something about me. I grew up in a Christian home. My parents went to church. They took us as kids to church. And I, if some of you guys know me, I was a youth pastor for 23 years. And I never made the assumption because of a kid's parents going to church that that kid was a Christian. Why did I not make that assumption? Because that was my story. My parents did everything they could for me to experience the love of God, but I didn't make it my own. And so 28 years ago, Christmas Eve, was a pivotal moment in my life. Up until that point, I was living it the way I want. Sure, I went to church. I did the things that my parents wanted me to do. I went to youth group. And yeah, there was a part that I liked what I heard at church. The story seemed cool. You know, I grew up with the felt boards, you know, and characters. We stepped it up a notch here. We actually have silver manger pieces, right, to tell the story. And so there was aspects that I liked about church. I met some good friends there and things like that. And I felt this draw that God had on my life. Like, I knew he wanted a relationship with me. That part was clear. What I didn't know is if I wanted a relationship with him. And so there was all sorts of things that I was trying to kind of figure out in my head. My grandfather was a police officer. My dad was a police officer. I've shared this story before. I thought that was really, that's a cool way to go. Not this whole church thing. And so there was these two things here. And then in a weird way, I thought I would prove to God why he wouldn't want me. And so I did what we call running. And I ran and I ran and I pursued different things that I thought would be meaningful, that would bring some purpose to my life. And when I got in high school, things got more complicated. Things got more messier. You know, it was the party scene with girls. When I got to college, it ratcheted up a notch. As I was getting older, there was more permission. I found a college. Some of you guys looked for your college because you wanted to excel in academics. I wanted to get away from my parents. And the college I picked was 9.5 hours away, and I thought, perfect. And it was a Christian college, so it satisfied two boxes. One, they wanted me at a Christian college, and two, I wanted to get away. So I pursued all that stuff. And I found friends who would party with me. We moved off campus the next semester, and I had gotten so lost in the scene, drinking and drugs and things like that, to the point where I wasn't intelligent enough to even withdraw from classes. And guess what happened? I failed out. We went to Christmas Eve service because I was on break. And for some reason, I thought, well, this is a good time to tell my parents I'm totally messed up and I'm not going back to college next semester. And that's the night I chose. This service ended, not here, but in New York. We went home, we were eating foods and snacks, and I said, oh, by the way, I failed out of college. And here's why. Merry Christmas. Now, one other thing you should know about my family, I grew up in a disciplinary family. So I was waiting for the shoe to drop, the hammer. And my parents, as we're sitting in the den around the fire, all of a sudden they came around me, knelt down, put their arms around me. And I was like, what? Yell at me. Ground me. Man, they just started praying. You talk about messing with somebody's head. That messed with my head that night. And for the first time, all the stories I heard about Jesus, all the things about how God is love, that he's a savior and he's forgiving and all that, I experienced it for the first time in a very tangible way through my parents. And it drove all the Christmas messages, all the church services I've ever been to that talked about how great Jesus is and how we have a kind and loving Savior. And man, did that change me. It totally changed my life. And it was that night, listening to the sobs of my parents as they went to sleep, that I allow the love of God to actually penetrate my heart. The manger was meant to be a sign and a symbol. a sign that God wants to know you. And if you want to know him, he's accessible to you. He has made himself accessible. And it was meant to be a symbol. It was meant to be a symbol that he wants to give your life purpose. 28 Christmases ago, I found both of those things. And it's my hope and it's my prayer that you would also be changed by this love this Christmas. Let's pray. Tonight, I want to just create some quiet space for us to consider the manger tonight, for you to contemplate the sign and the symbol of it. So I'm going to just let you sit there and think about that for a minute, and I'll come back and I'll pray here in just a second. Tonight, I want to give that person who maybe doesn't know Jesus, you've heard about him, you've attended these services a million times, you've heard these messages, but I just want to lead you in a prayer tonight, and you don't have to say it out loud, but if you want to know God, I want you to know he wants to know you, and this is a rudimentary way in starting that relationship with him. And so if you want to start that relationship with God, I'm just going to give you a simple prayer that you can own yourself here tonight. And so if this is your desire, you can pray these words. God, I accept the offer to be in a relationship with you tonight through your son Jesus. God, I believe your son Jesus came that night and was laid in a manger. I believe he lived, died, and he rose again. And that his life was meant to be a sacrifice for my sins, as the scripture says. Because of your great love demonstrated through your son, Jesus, I know I can approach you with confidence. Jesus, please help me in these coming days, weeks, and years to know the hope, the peace, joy, and love that you freely offer. Jesus, thank you for caring for me. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, you know, it's a Christmas Eve service. I'm sure you guys have plans. But if you made that and prayed that tonight, we want to just encourage you here at the church. We have these cool new name tags that we're all wearing, the elders of the church and myself. And so if you can't get to me after the service, look for somebody with a name tag. They'd love to talk to you about this new decision you made tonight. With that, though, we're going to continue and conclude our service. We're going to invite you to stand here in a second, find your candles.